Okay, guys, before we start, I just want to point out that exciting thing. I'm giving this topic for the first time. In fact, I first prepared it actually last night. Okay, are there more sheets? Some people need more sheets? Okay, just a second. And there are two things that helped cause this. One is my son Mordechai is here, and one of the difficulties in being a rabbi's kid is somebody say, I've heard every shiur he's had to give, I'm just bored. So I had to prepare something new so he wouldn't be bored. And this topic also came up when I was learning with Shana Bet while you guys were at the Discovery Program. So it was a good confluence of factors, and we got here. The last word of introduction is that I'm quite impressed with Monty's poncho. Really remarkable. He's outdone himself today. Really impressive. I have to look at it more carefully. Okay, how much is the slit on the side?
Sorry?
How high up does the slit go?
Less than half.
So in any case, here's what we discussed, guys. What halachic ritual things are you allowed to do after you've had alcohol? Because obviously alcohol can impair your judgment. And you can ask, what about davening? What about benching? What about birkat kohanim? Some of you may know, okay, this is for everybody in Israel and the Sephardim and Chutz Laaretz, that those that do Birkat Kohanim every day, okay, so what do you notice? They tend to never do it at Mincha, right? And the only time they might do it on Mincha might be on a fast day. And it's pretty, when you know the reason, it's all very obvious. Right? In a culture where there's more wine drinking, so what do you think? By the time you get to the afternoon, someone might have had wine already. And apparently if you've had wine, maybe you can't do Birkat Kohanim anymore. So Shacharis, we're pretty confident that the Kohanim have not yet had any wine, so we do Birkat Kohanim at Shacharit. Once we get to Mincha, we're concerned that they might have, and if we don't do it, so of course the logic follows, why might you then have Birkat Kohanim on a fast day? Because once again, on a fast day, you're not afraid that the person has had any alcohol. Okay, so that already indicates the impact of the question we're going to raise today. Okay, so let's see what we got here. So we'll start with the Gemara in Brachot. I'm not sure if you guys all got here in Bikias, maybe some of you did. So it's a very interesting Gemara in Brachot because it says there's one biblical story which becomes the paradigm of tefillah. What biblical story is the paradigm of tefillah? Eli? Exactly. It's quite interesting. Those of you who like, stand up for women, it is a women's prayer that is the paradigm. It's a singer. Go tell everybody HIR. Okay? This is it's a women's prayer that is the paradigm of davening. Okay? Most of the halachot of Shacharit emerge from Chana's tefillah in the Beit Hamikdash. Yes, Mati.
I thought you were going to go with Avraham's sons, which is an example where
Avraham's sons.
Sorry, not Avraham. I mean Aaron Cohen's sons. Is there an opinion that they did the service drunk? And that was like the big
fight. Ah, okay. Yes. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. So we might even point it out. Avraham Nuna. Kama hilchata gverta ikal mishmehane kray dechana. The Gemara even takes note of it. We're going to learn a ton of halachot from Chana. Here's one of them. If you read that Gemara, you saw there's many, right? Even the idea of a silent prayer of the Amidah comes from Chana. So it says, "Va'yichshaveh Eli l'shikora." Eli thinks she's drunk. Mikan sheshikor asur lepalel. Okay, so we do have a Gemara that says a shikor can't pray. Okay, so one thing we see now, at least when it comes to tefillah, there's some status called the shikor can't daven. Obviously, you need to define what a shikor is. Okay, so let's go to a different Gemara in Irvin. So the other one, Irvin says, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Shatui al yitpalel. If you've drunk, don't daven. V'mitpalel tfilato tfila. But if you did do it b'dieved, your tfila works. Shikor al yitpalel. Here's that word again. V'mitpalel tfilato to'eva. But when a shikor davens, his tfila is abomination. Right, so then obviously we have, apparently there are different levels of alcohol consumption, right? There's a shatoi whose davening still works, even though we prefer a shatoi not pray. But then there's a deeper level when you're a shikar, and apparently apart from a shikar, your tefillah is just a disaster. Okay, I guess you'd have to pray again when you sobered up. Okay, we consider it an abomination. Now, of course, the Gemara is going to ask, how do you define shatoi and how do you define shikar? So the Gemara says, heichi dami shatoi, heichi dami shikar. Okay, Shanaav guys, what's the best translation of Heichi Dami? Who said that? Isaac Kirshner, very good. Isaac's one of the hidden Talmud stars of the yeshiva. Okay, what is the case? What is the example? So what is Shatoi and what is Shikar? So the Gemara tells a story, but the story is going to involve the halachic information. right? They were saying goodbye. Amabara Dinahar Yufti, on the bridge of the river Yufti. I have no idea where that river is. If you're really curious, look it up in Jeshurun. Okay, Amru Kochad Minan, each one said, Lema Milta Delo Shmiel Lechavre. Let's all, you know, we'll end with a little like halachic vart. We'll say goodbye. There seems to be this idea. You're saying goodbye to somebody. You give them like a little halachic innovation. Give them a halachic idea to say goodbye. And then he'll remember you. Right? It's a good way to, you'll stick in his memory. So one says, now again, guys, that's all interesting, but it's nothing to do with our story. The only point is that that's going to get us to the difference between Shatui and Shikar. Because apparently that's what one of these sages said. Heichi dami Shatui, heichi dami Shikar. Shatui kol sheyachol ledaber lefnei hamelach. Shikar kol sheino yachol ledaber lefnei hamelach. Similarly, what shikar? Shikar is really somebody who's like wandering around, inebriated, right? They can't really hold it together. It would be disrespectful for them to stand before a king. That's a shikar. Now notice, it's interesting, because apparently shatui, despite having had something to drink, apparently can be medaber. So I have to see exactly what the issue of Shatui is. Right? The Shatui apparently can't hold them together. If I coherently get to an audience with a king, the Shikar would not be able to do so. Now, it could be the Omei Lefnei HaMelech is not an accident here, guys, as a criteria. Where do we have that term of being Omei Lefnei HaMelech? That's tefillah, right? Prayer. So it's not an accident, perhaps, that, oh, a Shikar can't really pray because the Shikar is not capable of being Omei Lefnei HaMelech. If you can't go speak to the king, right? You can't go speak to the president, so then you shouldn't be talking to God. So that's a shikar. Now, we still need to define a little bit more what a shatui is. Okay, everybody good so far? Yeah? Okay, great. This is, yeah, Jonathan.
Under the assumption that you can't even daven if you're...
Shikar.
Shikar. So, I get that you don't have to be funny or mincha, but if people are drunk by mincha time, would they not even be able to daven at all?
Mincha? Okay, that's a great question. So let's go a little bit further. What if we discovered that even a shatui can't do birkat kohanim? Okay, but that's a very good question. Guys, this is also a special topic for Caleb. Guys, I would like to make a rule, guys, for life. Guys, a rule for life? If there's a guest speaker, and the guest speaker asks Yeshiva guys what your hobbies are, we do not want the second answer should not be whiskey, okay? Okay, maybe like the eighth answer, okay? But the, okay, I'm going to put that in the Yeshiva guide. Second answer should not be whiskey. Okay. Okay. Let's go now. So we need to define a little bit more. We need to define a little bit more what shatui is. Okay. Now, every once in a while, the most important source might not be a Gemara in the Bavli, it might be in the Yushalmi. And here there's a very, very interesting Yushalmi in Trumot, of all places. Says the Yushalmi, Abba Baravuna Amar. Oh, wait, who was it? Din Moskowitz is here? Oh, man. Okay. Too bad. Guys, it's always a bad idea when I have an association with your name and then you're not sure goalie. Okay, what? I was going to test him about Trumo. Yeah, he got it. Okay. Shatui al yitpalel. V'mitpalel tilato tachnunim. Now, I realize the word shifts, but it's pretty much the Bavli, right? What does it say here? We'd prefer a shatui not daven, but if he does daven, what would it mean tilato tachnunim? Is that good or bad? It's good. It works. It's a good tachnun. It's a good supplication. Shikar al yitpalel, a shikar shouldn't daven, v'mitpalel, but if he does daven, tfilato gidufim, his tfilah is like blasphemy. So even though the word shift, it's basically the same idea as the Bavli, right? The shatui, we prefer you not pray, but the prayer works. The shikar, his prayer doesn't work at all. So,
Is it possible that this is talking about someone davening for the Amud?
Why do you want to say that? Look, it's an interesting suggestion, but I think the default would be just don't make anybody's prayer. Okay, so next. Taman Amri. Oh, sorry. Ezu Shatui. But now things are getting a little bit better. Because what did the Bavli keep saying? Shatui just means you can speak before the king. So you might wonder, what makes you Shatui that way? So now the Gemara says, Ezu Shatui kol sheshata revi'it. Wait, that's very different. A revi'it of wine is like 86 milliliters. So I think many of us in the room could drink a revi'it without getting particularly, you know, unless you have low tolerance, you probably are not particularly drunk. So it almost seems like Shatui, we somehow object to you davening after Shatui, even though you're not really inebriated. Right? Shikar is someone who's fully inebriated. Right? But Shatui sounds like, it's almost like this formal din. Once you've had a review of yain, we don't want you to pray. But that's why, if he does pray, it works, because he's not really drunk. Okay, so the whole thing of Shatui is a little bit surprising here. Like, why? But that, I think that works for Jonah's point about Birkat Kohanim. Because what are we saying? Maybe we're not really afraid that the average Jew is drunk at Mincha time. He's not Shikar, but we suspect he's probably, or maybe, Shatui. Right, especially in the culture, I point this out all the time, guys. Right, we live in a world of like 80,000 soft drinks. Most of human history was not like that. You basically had four drinks in your whole repertoire, right? You had wine, beer, milk, and water. And if your water supply was contaminated, right? So we're really cutting down on what you could have to drink. So naturally, in such a society, you're going to drink more. Okay, drink more wine. So I think the place you encounter today, some of you may even get this, is if I know you're traveling to like France or Spain, where there might be a sense that the average lunch, you break out a bottle of wine. Most of us in America do not live in such a culture, where like the average lunch, you break out a bottle of wine. But I think, again, I'm not an expert on the subject. Caleb, sounds right? Okay, but I believe like in France and Spain, that would be the norm. Okay, so maybe by the time you get to Mincha, the guy might have had a review of wine, and he's not a shikar, but he's a shatui. Perhaps that's why we don't want him to do a birkat kohanim. Micah.
I was just going to say that this qualification wouldn't work for almost any other type of halakha. Like, obviously, repeat of like.
Okay, that's a very good question. I'm not going to address it today, but actually, we might address it a little bit. Mike raised an excellent question. Hey, Jonah. Okay, Mike raised an excellent question. Is there anything special about wine? Or is it just a question? No, anything that causes drunkenness is exactly the same thing. Whiskey, vodka, it's all the same. Okay, so we'll have to figure that out. That's a very good question. Okay, yeah, Ira.
So, can we say that there might be like a split? In the sense that, like, why you're not able to do it, and to a certain extent, you either you have the physical ability to say the words, or is it because you come off as, in a sense, disrespectful?
Excellent, excellent, Ari Berman.
Because I would say that, like, the Lusha, like, Toeva sounds like it's more of a sense of, like, you're coming as a disrespectful.
Okay, that was terrific. Okay, so Ari is a natural born Lamban. He says, really, what's the fundamental question? Which value am I violating? What is the issue with having alcohol and then davening? And maybe if we have different models, the different models could help us understand what's really going on here. Yeah.
I think it makes sense that it would be based on the, you know, if you look like stupid, sort of, because we mentioned specifically in front of the king, I feel like we would just use different words there. We would probably just use different words for the, as to like what level you would be. So, like, we would just say, if you can't say it, then. You know,
that's how we would define Shikar today, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Caleb.
Does this apply just to like a formal prayer, like Yamida or like Shema, whatever it is?
We're going
to
find it out. Right? So far, very good, Caleb. Okay. Okay, Caleb, you can get like 8 jokes today, Caleb. Sorry. Obviously, this topic hits close to home, Caleb. Okay, so we're going to try it. Right? Okay, so far, we've had just Tefillah. At some point, right? Just Tefillah on both of them, correct? At some point, we got to get beyond Tefillah and ask, is there something unique to Tefillah? Or would Kriyat Shema be the same thing? Would Brachot? I should clarify, probably you all know this already, but when the Gemara says Tefillah, what is kind of Stam Tefillah? The Amidah. Everyone got that down? I know our prayer has all kinds of other things. It has Tachanun, it has Aleinu, it has Birkat HaShachar, but when we say Tefillah, the essence of Tefillah is the Shemon Esrei, the Amidah. Okay, so you're right. If the Gemara keeps saying Tefillah, you could ask, what about a different kind of prayer? That is an excellent question. All right, Eitan.
I'll take it even a step further and ask, what about with like learning the Torah? Are you
gonna... very good. So we're going to see something, guys, which is, you see there's a really interesting, Eitan, Caleb, you got a whole sefer on this topic. Okay, it'll be great. Drunkenness in the halakhic system. Okay. I'll make a literary reference no one's going to get, but I'll make it anyway. Okay. Has anyone ever read any Graham Greene? Graham Greene was an English novelist. So Graham Greene is a famous novel, his name escapes me. But the hero of the novel is the whiskey priest. He's the priest who likes whiskey. Okay, that's the hero of the novel. What is it? Yes, The Power and the Glory, thank you. Okay, see, we've got an educated man in the audience. Okay, so The Power and the Glory by Graham Greene. So, Caleb, it's obvious what should happen now. A Jewish novelist should write about the whiskey rabbi. Right, that is obvious, right? Okay, so... In any case, so this is what have I raised so far? We've talked about davening, Birka Kohanim, other brachot and tefillot. But we didn't get to Torah yet. So as far as I know, there's no discussion of learning while you're drunk, but there is a discussion of paskening while you're drunk. Like maybe a rabbi can't make a halachic ruling while he's drunk. But it is interesting. I've never seen a source till now that is worried about learning when you're drunk. Apparently, you can learn when you're drunk, guys. So even if this Purim, you're inebriated, and someone says, let's learn some Mea Shiloh together, go for it. Okay, there apparently does not seem to be an issue of Talmud Torah while you're drunk. There is an issue of rendering halachic ruling while you're drunk. Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense considering the fact that you wouldn't be able to do it in front of the king, so it's about talking,
good.
And having respect.
Yeah, very good.
Learning is just for yourself.
Okay, no, he's right. There's a reason why we would be more machmer and tefillah than Talmud Torah. Ah, Eitan Zenger, another pro-women's issue. You ready? This is really great, guys. When people want to know, this is really interesting, actually. When people want to know whether women could render halachic rulings, one of the most important sources is from this topic. Because you guys all know there's a book called the Sefer HaChinuch that goes through all 615 mitzvot. If you ever read Sefer HaChinuch, the last thing he does is he explains when this mitzvah applies, where it applies, and to whom it applies. Okay, so he'll say, this is a mitzvah for men and women. Or this is a mitzvah just for men. Well, good so far, guys? Okay, so there's a prohibition in the Torah. This Mati's right after the Nadav Review. What's the prohibition? Don't make halachic rulings when you're drunk. Okay with me so far? You might think that's not going to be the most exciting piece to say about Chinuch. What does the Chinuch say in the last line? This mitzvah applies to men and women. So what can you infer from there, obviously? Obviously, it's possible that women can make halachic rulings. Otherwise, you wouldn't say that this mitzvah... Isn't that cool? So it's so interesting. Like one of the best sources that a woman could be a halachic decider is like a backhand comment in the middle of a discussion of being drunk. Okay, that's where it comes, but it still emerges, right? Sefer HaChinuch obviously envisions women making halachic rulings. Yeah.
We're
going to discuss Purim in a second, okay?
Yeah.
Answer is right. When we get closer to Purim, the yeshiva will have a discussion about different opinions about getting drunk on Purim. Those that are against it, one thing they might say is, you're going to mess yourself up halakhically, because you won't bench properly, and you won't say marv afterward. So we will get to that. Okay, yeah, Mati.
In general, are you able to answer, say, the chazan, like a mida? Does that count as something?
Okay, so here's a very interesting question. There's a little bit of a tension here in the halachic system, which goes as follows. Who's I just learning this with? Was that all Shanabed or just one of you? Oh, it was you, Boaz, right? It was our chavrut yesterday, I think. Yeah, okay, that's true. I guess you couldn't know until I say what it is. There's a little bit of a... I thought you had prophetic powers, Boaz. Okay. So there's a little bit of a tension because there's an idea in Yerushalmi that tefillah was never meant to be outsourced. There's something very personal and very individualized about tefillah. So even though in other contexts we have no problem with A being motzi B, I'll give a very simple example, guys. Don't we all do that on Kiddush on Friday night? Like, when's the last time in your house everyone said, no, I insist on making my own Kiddush? Right? No, one person makes Kiddush for everybody, and we're perfectly fine. So we don't tend to think of Kiddush as, oh, it's a personalized endeavor. Everybody should say their own Kiddush. But there is an idea that tefillah is like that. We really don't like the idea that you're going to say tefillah for me. I think we all understand there's something intimate and personal about tefillah. But now, but the whole institution of Chazarat Hashatz, what was the main motivation? People who don't know how to pray on their own will then be able to just listen to the Chazan. So it sounds like Chazal tried to navigate this tension, A, the desire for everybody to pray, B, what if people are not knowledgeable, and I think what they tend to paskin is you should really only rely on Chazarat Hashatz if you're what's called an Eino Baki. Meaning, who should rely on Chazarat Hashatz? Someone who really doesn't know. If you really don't know, this is your only game in town, so we'll bend the rules a little bit and let you be okay. It sounds like if I'm Micah Fight, man, I'm a perfectly knowledgeable fellow, and I'm just tired one day. It sounds like we don't want Micah to say, well, I'm not dominating the private Amida, I'm just going to listen to the Chazan. Okay, so I'm not sure, besides someone who doesn't know when else this would apply, but the norm would be we only want Chazarat Hashatz for the Eino Baki. Okay? Keith Nelson, how's it going there? Okay, any distractions today?
Nope.
Okay.
Anything here?
What? He's going to confirm that there's no distractions?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael Riskin, where's his girlfriend now? How do you know there's no distractions?
Okay. What?
Monty,
go ahead.
Okay,
okay.
It's okay.
I
was thinking that if you could answer, then you would be able to do that if there's some sort of issue with your ability to be like to compensate the doubling. But if it's a physical word thing, you'd still want to answer for me and have that fulfilled.
Okay, so let's see a little bit more. Okay, let's go back to Yishami. Before any guys, I'm sorry. I know it's overkill. I just can't resist. I'm in a good mood today. Okay, Akiva, don't let your girlfriend hang out with Caleb. He's a bad influence. Okay. Okay. So let's go back. Okay. Ken, you might set a record. I never made fun of a person like 7 times in the Shirkoli before. Okay, we'll see if you go for the record. Yeah, Noah. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, I said we don't really see an issue in terms of Talmud Torah. No one seems to be concerned. But we have seen an issue in terms of making a halakhic ruling. So, no bothers, that's a really interesting question. Where would Kriyat Torah fit in? So I'm not going to answer it, but I just want to make a point. It's very interesting in general. Do we view Kriyat HaTorah as just a form of Talmud Torah? Or is it some kind of different ritual endeavor? I'm going to share my question. Which I think is a very interesting question. I can think of a lot of nafkamino. You know. I'll give you a great one right away. Okay, in Kriyat HaTorah, we discussed this in my Issues Your Thoughts here on Sunday. Okay, what did the Gemara make? We'll get to this. Somehow women are coming up all the time here. Okay, what did we say there? That may strict law, women could get an aliyah, but for a reason called Kavarat Tzibur, they decided not to? We're not discussing the details now. Do you want to look kind of a Megillah Chavkin? But couldn't they be related questions now? Right, what a status a woman having Kriyat HaTorah might be. Is Kriyat HaTorah just a form of Talmud Torah, or is it something else? So I'm not answering the question, but I think it's a great question. Yeah, I had not thought of where Kriyat HaTorah would fit in. Okay, let's go back to Yushami. Okay, so Yushami says, he gave us a definition of Shatoi. What's Shatoi? You drank with you. Shikor Sheshata Yoter. Now that I thought was a little difficult, because if you had just a little bit more than a revit, also I don't see you as being particularly inebriated. But look what it says after that. Taman Amri, but there they said, oh, who could tell me why Taman means there? Okay, Quincy. Apparently the shin, Yoni Kranz, you knew that too, right? Excellent. Guys, the shin tough rule apparently works with Yerushalmi Aramaic also. So Taman is just Shum. Okay, so Taman Amri, there they said, Kol She'enu Yochol Ledaber Lefnei HaMelech. So this point things seem pretty good, because now the Yerushalmi has also adopted the Bavli criteria. So now it sounds like we've got it all down, right? What's Shatoi? You had a review of wine. You might not be drunk, but you had a review of wine. What's Shikar? You actually had so much that we'd be embarrassed to have you present before the king. 2 seconds, guys. Now, because my favorite part of the whole sugya. Okay, but Rav Zeira Bai Kumi Ravasi, Shikar Mahu Sheyivarech. What if the Shikar doesn't want to daven, but wants to make brachot? Now, if you stop the question right here, it sounds to me like we're talking about all brachot, right? Maybe all brachot are somehow different than tefillah. But the answer focuses very much on Birkat HaMazon. So it becomes a question how I should read this Yerushalmi. Amar Le, what was his answer? V'achalta v'savata uveirachta. You ate and you were satiated and you benched. V'afilu middumdam. Even if you are not fully with it. Now, I think, in theory, this is a fascinating svara. Why might be inebriation might be better in a Birkat HaMazon context? Because what's the whole idea of benching, guys, right? I just had a good meal, and now I'm benching. So maybe even if I had too much to drink, it's still reflective of I am post-meal, right? There's no thing like davening is not this post-meal endeavor, but benching is a post-meal endeavor. So maybe it makes sense, okay, obviously in the ideal world you wouldn't be drunk, but you could say that's exactly who should be benching. Someone who's just had a really nice meal that might have included some alcoholic beverages. Now again, I'm not saying it's the only way to read Yerushalmi, but I was excited that made one way to read Yerushalmi. But then it seems to me it would be just a Birkat HaMazon heter. The Birkat HaMazon in particular is the carryover from a meal, and that meal could involve alcohol. I guess I'll take more comments in 1 second. I just want to say, those who really find this topic fascinating, I'm not going to do it right now, but you really have to read the next 3 lines of Yerushalmi also. It's just they're quite confusing, and I'm cheating by skipping them for now. Okay, but if you want to Caleb, before you write your sefer on the Whiskey Rabbi, you have to read the moral of three lines of Yerushalmi. Okay. So I told you one thing very quickly, guys. In the Me'iri. Because the Me'iri has exactly the tension I just mentioned. This is the Me'iri and on the Gemara in Irvin. Kevin, go to the third line, please. In the Me'iri. Come see the third line. Umikomakom, says the Me'iri. Shatui mevarech alamazon lechadchila. Now notice, he says shatui and not shikar, but fine. A shatui could bench. Hoil val iske achila v'shtia hiba. Isn't that a little bit similar to my svar? Although he's saying it for a shatui, not a shikar. What's the claim? Why would we buy by a shatui who just had a review of wine? That's what he's supposed to do. He's eating lunch, right? So why would we be bothered? But look what he does now, though. V'linere af b'chol habrachot ken. What did the Miri just do, though? Now he kind of moves away from my svar. Okay, guys, I glossed over one thing, but I did mention it, right? He doesn't seem to be, as far as the Yerushalmi, that he'll let a shikar bench. But he will let a shatui bench. Now, you might say, what's the big deal? No, because in tefillah, what did we say? A shatui shouldn't daven, only b'dieved does it work. What does he want to claim about benching? A shatui can do it l'chadchila. But here, my svar really makes sense, right? What you're complaining that he had a cup of wine, he just had lunch, that's the whole point. You're not going to complain about that. However, how do you see he moves beyond my lunch svar? Because he ends it true about all brachot. It sounds like I want to make a brach on a rainbow and I'm shatoy. What's the din? Go ahead. Everyone agree with that? Once you're saying that, it's no longer my svar. So I want to give two readings to Yerushalmi. Whether the Yerushalmi is about shikar or about shatoy, one reading is unique to benching. Benching, by definition, comes from a meal, and therefore having had something to drink should bother us less. Or, if I say it's all brachot, that can't be the svar. The svar might just be somehow all brachot have a different status than tefillah. Okay, now I know we've been waiting a while. Let's see some comments. Joe Nuziel.
That doesn't bother me so much because the assumption would be that, like, we have set times of the day for tefillah, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for any other bracha, it could be like, oh, I could be having my lunch meal and I could see a rainbow on my window. We're not going to limit ourselves to just not saying brachot at, like, any time of the day just because you may have...
You're saying with tefillah it's easier to navigate that there's no intersection?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
But what about...
I know exactly... The opportunity to make any given bracha...
Let me ask you a question, though. It's very interesting. What about bracha rishonan food? What do you think that should fit in? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Well, I would think, I mean, if you're, you know, blessing and not eating bread...
Yeah.
And you're just going to say... That would be still fine to me because you would. I mean, I guess
when
you're drunk at the point.
All right, think about it. All right, who else did hands up? Isaac. Well, Isaac, you're not going to make two comments in one year, Isaac. Yeah, good.
According to like your opinion, there seems to be like an in between stage between Zikor and Shatori. He says Shatori is having a review of wine, but then Zikor is not having a top four king.
Okay.
Zikor just be having more than a review of
wine. Oh, very good. So, well, notice there was a position like that.
Yeah,
the first position you showed me was that, right? Shikar, Sheshata Yoter. Only Taman brings in Eni Echudav Nemel. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but really there was a position on your side. Okay, Eitan.
Does Rekha Kohen eat cows and brachot? Is that part of the tefillah? Because according to this, you
took... Oh, very good. Excellent question. You guys are really excellent today. We're going to try to figure out why Birkot might be separate. Because Eitan's saying, wait, you're using the word brachot. After all, it's called Birkot Kohanim. It sounds pretty much like this should be, regular bracha. I'm just curious one thing. Jojo and Eli, when you come to Israel and you're already used to saying Birkot every day, does it strike you as anything different or not at all? Not in the slightest. Wow, no culture, no religious culture shock for you guys.
I didn't know it was Israel.
Wait, but you didn't? You know why? That, you know what that proves to you? That proves that Flatbush is now like 95% Syrian. Because otherwise you would know that Ashkenazim don't do it every day. Ah, got it. Oh, that was the culture shock. Okay? You Ashkenazim have finally caught on. We do this every day. Okay. Yeah, Noah. Well, again, I'm not sure. It's a little bit hard to define, but the Gemara keeps coming back to Eini Yochol Davar L'fnei HaMelech. So I guess I would ask you, when we use the word high, could such a person stand before the king or not? Right? Again, I'm not sure how to exactly define it. Okay, Yoni, the mystery man.
I don't think it's so strange to think that
Oh, Yoni Kran's amazing. Okay, he's another hidden star. Hidden because he's so mysterious. Okay, I'm going to stop questions for 1 second. What?
So many references.
It's true. Today's a good day. Izzy, are you comfortable with having lost the mysterious title?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. What do you think, guys? Was that a convincing yes or not so convincing?
Okay.
Very good. Okay, guys, we'll take more questions in a minute. Okay, let's just get to Ari Berman's point, which also touches on what Yoni just said. Let's go. Now, we want to know, what are the rationale? And obviously, that's the most fundamental question. Why is it? And then you can try to figure out what the scope of the law is if you know what the reason is. So look at the Rambam on the bottom. Rambam is very helpful here. Shikor al yipalel. Why can't he shikor daven? Mifnesha ein lo kavana. There it is. He says it's very simple, right? Davening is about having good intent, about understanding what you're saying. If you're drunk, you can't think straight. Nothing deeper than that, right? That is the problem with davening. Now, at that point, I think we could all say a svara. I think you guys will all get it. Why might this not apply to brachot, guys? Yeah, what if I say that brachot doesn't require the level of intent of davening? Isn't it true in our tradition that we tend to talk about kavanah more in a tefillah context than other contexts? Right? We seem to be very into kavanah for davening. That seems to be essential. Other things, it might be all right. You didn't have such great kavanah we could get by. So again, so one possibility. Okay, guys, 2 more minutes for questions. One possibility here is we now know what the problem with davening is. The problem is you need kavanah. A shikor can't have kavanah. And we can also understand why maybe the Meiri suggests that we could be more lenient with all brachot, because with all brachot, the level of kavanah required is not of the same severity. Everybody good so far? Okay, but now we get to the great Yoni Kran Svar. Okay? But great there, modified Svar. Okay? Let's go to the Netziv. Okay, so the Netziv says, right, so I always point out, guys, the Netziv, Rosh Yeshiva Lajin, even though he's Rosh Yeshiva, he is more known for his parish on Chumash than his parish on Gemara. Again, guys, his parish on Chumash is called the Hamek Davar, excellent parish. But little known is he also has a parish on Shas called Meromei Sadeh. Okay, you get extra points if you could figure out why someone named Naftali would call his sefer Meromei Sadeh. I don't expect anyone to know it, but you could check with my son after share. Okay, so now let's look at the Meromei Sadeh. Shat Ravi Yain Al Palel, Kachari Nuschad Aram Vishari Shonim, Mechani Bisham Tiberik Aleph. Why shouldn't you daven? You only had a Raviyat. Arguably here, you're not even inebriated. Look what he says. Umishum didami la'avoda. Things just got interesting. Maybe there are certain heightened... Right, we know that we're often very strict about the Beit HaMikdash. Right, Beit HaMikdash is not just any ritual area. It is this specially sanctified ritual area. And maybe at that point, the criteria will get tougher. And even if someone's not inebriated, just had a review of wine, we won't let them do things. And now we have a great possibility. Now, before we get to the Netziv, because the Netziv went a step further than I wanted, we could go the Yoni Kranz's approach. Why would Birkat Kohanim be different than Bar Pri Eitz? Because what would we have a real sense of? Birkat Kohanim is patterned after Avoda in the Mikdash, right? No one thinks Bar Pri Eitz is patterned after Avoda in the Mikdash. So that would make Birkat Kohanim different. Eitz, I mean, it's a great shot. Why it's different than the regular brachot? So, but notice what the Netziv did. He did something even more clever, right? We just, Yoni Kranz had a great svara for Birkat Kohanim. What's he actually applying it to? Davening. Now, we all know that in the Gemara Brachot it says, Tefillah is either Keneged Avot or Keneged Karbonot. So we have another possibility here. Maybe it's not that Tefillah has heightened Kavana that makes it different. What makes Tefillah different is because it's a Beit HaMikdash type endeavor. Now I'll take questions, guys, but I think now we're really getting to the heart of Ari Berman's question. Right? We are trying to figure out why we're stricter in tefillah and how large the scope of that should be. So we now have two possibilities. According to the Rambam, tefillah is a problem because you're just not going to have good kavanah. And at that point, we'd have to say it's different than brachot because brachot doesn't demand the same level of kavanah as tefillah. So that is one approach to the entire sugya. But now the Netziv has opened up a totally different approach to the sugya. It's not so much about heightened kavanah, it's about where are we trying to model ourselves after Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash has strict criteria. So therefore, So first of all, we solve Eitan's problem. We now could differentiate between Birkat Kohanim and other brachot. Other brachot, right? Again, it's a beautiful bracha on thunder and lightning. No one says you're modeling yourself after the Mikdash when you make such a bracha. So we wouldn't have the heightened criteria. But Birkat Kohanim is that way. But then it very cleverly says that could also be why tefillah is different. Okay, guys, so we now have two paths in the sugya. Is tefillah different because tefillah needs heightened kavanah? Or is tefillah different because it has a Beit HaMikdash avodah element, which obviously impact how much we expand these demands? Okay, Quincy.
In the background, there's a whole discussion going on about how many that is just a list of 19 brachot, and what makes these 19 brachot different, or what's the relationship between Amidah and other brachot, or you can make it different here, which is maybe we're talking about a Nemilim versus, let's say, Shevah.
Okay, although your question about why the bracha midah are different, we've kind of already given two answers, right?
So I'm saying that that's yeah.
Okay, fine. All right, Elyon.
Do you think also the difference between like regular bracha and your kakorim can merely just be, I mean, it's related a bit to like avodah and the Beit HaMikdash, but the fact that like avodah in the Beit HaMikdash symbolizes like a type of bracha or certain things that you're doing that are like the Kohanim are like the link between like the people and Hashem, and like what they're doing is not for themselves, but regular brachot are just like things that you're doing, like brachot based on things you're doing for yourself. So your Kohanim is like the Kohanim we're making of your Kohanim are not, they're not saying like a bracha for something that they're doing in their life, they're just seeing in their life. It's not something that like,
okay, not bad. Caleb. Once again, your favorite time for Caleb. Okay, I think we're up to six now. Yeah, good.
Here when we're talking about Avoda, does it refer to anything done in the Beit HaMikdash you might be doing?
Oh my God, is that a great question? Excellent, Caleb. That was a great question, not even connected to your interesting whiskey. Okay, haven't got to what you just said? You guys are really getting it. Okay, what makes something an Avoda? Did anything that obviously, I'll take it to an extreme. Not everything that happened in the Beit HaMikdash is an Avoda. Like, let's say, who are two Kohanim here? Who do we have here? Okay, let's say Isaac and Jonathan Wayne. Great. So Isaac and Jonathan Wayne are on 1 week in the Beit HaMikdash. They're doing the Avodah. And they're both intellectually curious people. So Isaac says to Jonathan Wayne, Jonathan, great to see you. What interesting Chinese novels have you read this week? Okay, so presumably that's a very nice conversation. But the fact that it took place in the Beit HaMikdash does not make it an Avodah. Now, obviously, that's an extreme scenario. But what if there's something he did that was even part of the ritual life, but is somehow not essential? So that is a great question. I'm just going to give you one example, just food for thought. We're not going to get into it too much today. Okay, in general, a Yisrael, right, a non-Kohen, can't do Avodah. Right? A Yisrael can't sprinkle the blood. A Yisrael can't do a bunch of other things. Anyone know one thing Yisrael can do? No. Actually, you know, it's open to everybody. Izzy. Excellent. How did you know that, Izzy? You just got to know some things. Okay. Monty, would you get the reference if I made a Monty Python reference, or you wouldn't get it? What if I said there's some things you need to know if you're the king? Would you get that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Quincy, did you get it? Oh, Quincy. Okay, so in any case, Izzy's just been very good. A Yisrael can do Shechita. There's a Gemara that says, Shechita Ksheira Bizar. What would it mean, Ksheira Bizar? Who's the czar in this context, guys?
No.
A non-Kohen. But now, there's a Gemara that has an even sharper formulation. Okay, if you guys are interested in Kachim, this is for Yoni Kranz. He loves Shechita. Okay, investigate this. There's a Gemara that says, Shechita Lav Avodahi V'Ksheira Bizar. That's the quote? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have let you say it. Wait, did that come up in Chulin? Terrific. Now, isn't that that's a stronger claim, right? Now, here you get a very interesting question, right? What do I say? I say, Shechita is an Avodah. It just happens to be allowed for Yisrael to do it. It's an unusual Avodah. Or, wait, if Yisrael does it, that basically tells you it's not an Avodah. But that would be a better example than my interchange between Isaac and Jonathan. Because certainly Shechita is a halachic deed. It's not like just saying hello and passing the time of day. But maybe even if it's a halachic deed taking place in the Mikdash, that doesn't make it an avodah. So I'm not answering this question, but I'm just praising this question. Caleb is right. If we say it's the avodah quality that raises the standard, you might try to figure out, well, what things in the Mikdash are avodahs, what are not avodahs. Yes, Ezra. Ah, here we go. So now we'll get to the most interesting part. Okay, I'm not sure how much work we can get to do inside. Let me just see if I can find one line for this. Okay, everybody go to the back page. Okay, now some of you may know, he's really like a quiet man who deserves more credit in life. One of the Rosh Yeshiva was a man named Rav Heshi Reichman. Okay, didn't somebody meet him? One of you Shonbeck guys met him? No? Okay, so he doesn't have such a popular shir. He doesn't have so many fellows in his shir, so people don't know about him. But he puts out Svarim of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah on various Masechtot. So he's done a very nice job of promoting more of Soloveitchik Torah out there. Those are these red books called Rishimot Shirim. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. Okay, so if you ever see it, if Rav David or Rav Gav quotes Rishimot Shirim from the Bar Ilan, that is Rabbi Reichman's handiwork. He should get credit for that. So look in, we're not going to do the whole thing, but look in Vihine Bedin Shikar B'Kriyat Shema. It's the third paragraph. Okay, you guys see that? Third paragraph in Rav Soloveitchik, yeah? Vihine Bedin Shikar B'Kriyat Shema B'Brachot. What about Kriyat Shema and other Brachot? Ayin B'Chdushe Ramban Shekatav. I didn't have a chance to look up this Ramban, but I assume it's being quoted accurately. Aval Inyan Shikar V'Shatoy Nirli She'ein Brachot B'Chlal Chomer Zeh. Brachot are not part of this. Chumrah. It's unique to tefillah. We're not so worried about how much you had to drink when you're making brachot or kriyat shema. Why not? Lefi shelo hiskiu chachamim ela tefillah. He says, well, look at all the gemara. What are all the gemara? What are the gemara in brachot and the gemara in Erevin talk about? Only tefillah. Neither of them extended it. Right? The only one who asked the question of extension was the Yushalmi. Next. Abel kriyat shema vein tzarchom bracha korinein v'yotzim hem yidei chovatan. Now, that's just a halachic position. We need a rationale now. But the Ramban is convinced that this is tough for tefillah, but not an issue for brachot and shema. Johnny, how's this topic for you?
Good.
It's good, yeah? Do you ever like a little wine with your salmon?
I don't drink at all.
Okay, there we go. Just a man of sterling character. Okay. So says the Ramban, Detama detfilah, Mishum Tabai Kavana Yetera. Notice he doesn't go with the Avodah track, he goes with the Kavanah track, like the Rambam. But look what phrase he throws in. Shehu kimidaber bifnei hamelech. And before we go on to other proofs, something really interesting emerged, guys. I love to make this point because it's a crucial logical point. Sometimes we're trying to figure out how stringent to be, we get caught in one category. The only category we want to know is it the Raita, is it the Rabban, is it Minuk? Obviously, that plays a major role in how stringent to be. But you also have to ask not just what level it is, but what's the content of what I'm doing. And the content of what I'm doing might mean that in a given scenario, a rabbanit of your chamor than a deraita. See, here is a great example. Okay, no, I'll get to you in 2 minutes. Here's a great example. According to most interpretations, what kind of mitzvah is shema? What level is it? Shema is deraita. Again, if I don't know like the Rambam, what level of mitzvah is tefillah? Drabban. So here, I think you guys are thinking, so it's a no-brainer, right? Obviously, the standards for Shema should be much higher than the standards for Tefillah. After all, it's the right verse. Drabban. But that, again, I think that's too narrow a view of the world. Saying the only relevant question is the right to Drabban Minhag. Why might I say that Tefillah is more stringent criteria than Shema? Well, think about what I'm doing. What am I doing in Tefillah? I'm standing before the king and dialoguing with God. As much as we might like Shema, is there any sense of dialogue in Shema? No. Not at all. Shema is much more an affirmation than a dialogue. Like, we don't make requests of God. We don't even really praise God. Right? Think about the second paragraph of Shema. What's it about? Here's the impact of doing mitzvot. Here's the impact of not doing mitzvot. Very nice, but there's no dialogical component. There's no standing before the king, so one could easily argue, I don't care that tefillah is the Rabbanan and Shema is the Raita. I raise the level because only tefillah has the sense of Omid l'fnei HaMelech. So I think it's important to realize, right, we could have thought tefillah is more chamur only because of the Avoda theme. I think you could stick with the Kavana theme and still work with that very well. Right, the Rambam said the issue was Kavana. Here the Ramban says the issue is Kavana. And notice the Ramban mentions Omer Lifnei HaMelech. So it works out very well. Oh, we love Kriyat Shema, but you're not dialoguing in Kriyat Shema. So we don't have to have the same kind of Kavanah you would need. Or again, if you say it's inappropriate to be inebriated before the king, so in the Amidah, you're before the king. In Shema, you're not before the king. So we could be relaxed to standards. Okay, Mati.
With the understanding it's expanding, like, Beir Pascha Kohanim to Bila, but presuming, so say, there's a difference, because otherwise, I don't know, how do you explain Mincha, the fact we don't do Beir Pascha Kohanim?
Okay, so I don't know if I'll have a chance to get to it, but Mati's raising an interesting question. We're now differentiating Tfilah and Brachot and Shema, and we've done it according to both levels, both paths, right? Either Tfilah is Avodah, all these other things are not Avodah, or Tfilah is where Kavanah really matters, where it's Omid Lefnei HaMelech, and all these things are not true. It's interesting to say, where does Birkat Kohanim play in? And I think most of you are thinking, oh, Birkat Kohanim would have the Avodah aspect, but might not have the Omid Lefnei HaMelech Kavanah aspect. Okay, so if I have time after all these questions, we'll see a Rambam. Does Birkat Kohanim actually play out like Tfilah, or does Birkat Kohanim not play out like Tfilah?
I was saying it would have to be stronger.
No, I understand. Right. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, who had a hand up over there? Adin, I needed you before. I was looking for an expert on your Shalmi Trumot, and you were nowhere to be found. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Oh, man. Rena wasn't in class yesterday. I couldn't check with her. Okay, how many people, look, guys, we need to check this out, guys. Part of my surveys of modern Orthodox education. Okay, just a show of hands. How many people in this room could easily list the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? About half, right? About half of you. Okay. Jake Weinberg, they didn't teach that in Shall Have It?
Not easily, Jake.
Okay. You think you could do it with difficulty? Am I putting you on the spot if I ask you to try? Okay. All right. Leo Bodner, can you do it without any problem? Go for it. Okay, you have to a good start. You got the first two? Zra, Moed, Nashim. Excellent. Oh. Excellent. Guys, I have to make one point. I know in life most of us don't love to memorize things. But there's certain things you just need to know to be an educated Jew. So just memorize the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, guys. It's not so many items. It's six. There's even a nice mnemonic device. It's Man Nakat, right? Zra, Moy, Nashim, Nizikim, Kachim, Taro. You can't leave Yeshiva this year without knowing the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, okay? That is like a basic piece of knowledge for a knowledgeable Jew. Okay? But then, this is what I asked the Jim the other day, right? Sometimes there's discrepancy where there's Bavli and where there's Yerushalmi. So I said to him, one of the six therein has Yerushalmi and does not have Bavli. Now, even if you guys have no idea which it is, since you're all quite intelligent, just think logically for a second. Okay, actually, I want someone who didn't know the answer who just could figure out logically. Okay, which Seder of the six has Yerushalmi but does not have Bavli? Excellent, Caleb. Zeraim. Okay, why? Because they wrote Gemara about the things they were practicing. If you lived in Pumpadita Narda, you were not worried about Shemitah. That was not a major player for you, or Trumot Masrot. But if you lived in the land of Israel, you were worried about it. So notice, we looked at Yerushalmi Trumot before. What if I said, let's see what it says in the Bavli Trumot? What should you say to me? There's no such thing as the Bavli Trumot. Right? The Talmud Bavli did not cover the agricultural Masechta. Okay, it did. Now.
So it seems like it might be...
Well, that was a great question. You guys, really, you've been very impressive today. It's good. Eli's mom can go home and rest. Okay. That was very good. Okay. We, in the Gemara times, they used to say, if you daven and you know you don't have Kavana, you should go back and do it again. What is, it's very interesting, actually, that this happened. I should check what century it happened. What's the contemporary Pesach? We're not so confident you're going to have Kavanah the second time anyway, so just let it go. Okay, so there seems to be a sense of the growing difficulty in having Kavanah. So I did is curious, would that have any impact on these halachot? That's a very good question. Okay, yeah.
I think that your Havamina, that Thoraisa were far more stringent and if it's Rabbanim were less stringent. That was in the case of Sakek when performing Mitzvah. But in terms of accessibility, we might say the opposite. Because we want more people to be able to do Shema than to be able to do Thoraisa.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay. Quincy, very interesting. Yeah, all right.
What did you say about those being published?
Okay, all we said so far was we didn't limit this to being motzi others. Okay, even though Saul went to read the Gemara that way. We were saying this whole conversation about doing it yourself. Just as an aside, when Saul asked this question, I pointed out that regarding the Amidah, we really want everyone to say it themselves. There's a sense that it's a more individualized endeavor. But if you're an Eino Baki, what can we do? We'll allow the Eino Baki to rely on Chazar Hashatz. Okay, that's a good question, but we're going to argue for now. We have not really addressed the Chazar Hashatz as the one who's had the wine. We have not addressed that at this point. Yeah.
I'm not super convinced that you actually don't need that much kavana during brachos. I first of all, I just like remembered that being a thing, and then so I looked up like the Shulchan Aruch says that you know you need to be thinking about it. If you're not thinking about Hashem's kindness, you know you're causing anger to Hashem, whatever that means. And then we have like there's a Yerushalmi that says like you can't be doing anything else while you're you know making a bracha. It really seems like you actually
okay. That's interesting. No, that'd be an interesting study. All the sources. Okay, just to back up the Ramban a little bit. Can we go back to the Ramban, guys? Right after he said Kimidaber Fnei HaMelech, you guys see what that is? Yeah, everyone have that? So he's going to try to, obviously, just like I say, like a Tanakh, you know, Noam Psukim helps you prove your case. So obviously, Noam Gemaris helps you prove your Talmudic case. Isaac Verka, you having a good time? Okay, excellent. Here we go. Umatzinu b'chol makom lekavana chamir din tefila mikriyat shema. So again, you really have to know Shas to say this. What does the Ramban want to claim? If we go through Shas, what do we discover as a pattern? That we are more stringent about tefillah than Shema. Look at his example. Kidamr b'kula mechilten gabe she'ein dato miyushevet uba min haderech umeitzar dekulan l'inyan kriyat Shema kurin umuvarchen amazon v'chol berchot kulan. That's very interesting. What is it, again, now this is especially for Shana Bet, because you've learned brachot more recently than I have. He seems to see, what's a running theme? Don't daven if. What would it mean, guys? Ain dato miyushevet? You're not settled, right? Like a yeshuv is a settlement. Ain dato miyushevet. And what are some examples he has here? Bum in haderech. What seems to be the idea? I think a lot of us are like this. You just got home off the train. You're still kind of a little frazzled. You're not settled yet. So don't go straight from off the train to mincha. Right? Have some kind of break till you can get your act together. So, but what does he claim? We seem to see that on a running basis regarding tefillah. We do not seem to ever encounter that theme regarding kriyat shema and brachot. So it sounds like I got home from work and I'm a little frazzled, right? It took a long time. There was a lot of rain on Kfish Yishim. So I shouldn't daven right away. But if I'm really hungry and I go straight to the kitchen, you know, and grab some dinner, okay, let's say I do my uncouth move and just, you know, with my hand take a piece of kugel, right? But apparently, maybe the problem is that it's uncouth, but it's not a problem that I didn't wait till I'm settled to make a bracha. That seems to be a tefillah theme. So I'm not saying Noah's question is a bad question, but you really have to check it out. He seems to think that the normal pattern in Shas is that we're stricter about tefillah.
Even if we were stricter, that doesn't mean...
Okay, that's fair. That doesn't mean it's a free-for-all bracha. That's a very 4.0. Yeah.
Not focused, though, because we want to sell the
bracha. What about mincha? Okay. Ah. Okay, it's very good. You're right. It's good because sometimes you have an answer, you feel, did that really answer the question? So, I don't even answer and just like, that's it, the question is gone. Okay, so thanks for providing that opportunity.
Well,
he said there's another tension here about trying to be so much Google with Fila.
Yeah, but
I just pointed out that for Mincha, that's a non-starter.
But you only say Shema when it's from Esrit, so Allah.
No, but he's making an interesting question, like, if you have Shema's allowed and Shema's is not allowed, how does that play out in terms of Google with Fila? I think that's what he was asking. Like, let's say I say, oh, I'm still frazzled from my bus ride, and it's 8 o'clock at night. I could say Shema now, but I can't yet say the Amidah. So he's asking, how would that play out in the world where I'm trying to accomplish Gula
and Tefillah? Isn't it still dangerous to allow like, to be drunk during Shema? And besides Shema Amidah, you're saying Shema Amidah with Shema Esrit, you can't be drunk during Shema Esrit. So unless you, like, sober up really quickly.
Okay, so I will just point out, first of all, for Mincha, it's not really relevant. But second of all, some people think... Oh, 2 minutes, only 3 minutes left. Some people think that Gula Tefillah is only an issue in the morning and not at night. You guys look at that possibility?
Yeah.
Notice, it's really pretty noticeable actually, right? What do we do every Shacharis? Right after the words Gal Yisrael, the next thing is the Amidah. So clearly in the morning, we're really zealous about it. Marv, we don't seem particularly zealous. right? You say at least two things in the middle, and if you're Ashkenazi and Plutarch, maybe even three. Okay, you say, everybody says Hashti Veinu, right? Everybody says Achatzi Kaddish. I don't know if you ever noticed it, but notice, isn't that a striking difference? At Marv, you have Achatzi Kaddish. At Shachris, why have Achatzi Kaddish? Goes straight from Gal Yisrael to the Amidah. And if you're in Chutzlart, you might even have a minute to say this really long paragraph, Baruch Shem Le'olam, Amen V'Amen. Okay, it is one of the four best reasons to make Aliyah. You can stop saying that paragraph. But I'll tell you guys, this is funny. I bet this is true for almost everybody. You guys, check this out with your relatives who made Aliyah. After you made Aliyah, you stop saying it. Now you're visiting your family in Chutzlart, you just can't go back. Okay, once you drop from Yom Yomim, there's no returning. Okay, but check it out. Maybe there are people who are further than me who do say it. I admit, when I'm in Chutzlart from Arav, I just skip it again. Okay, there's just no going back. Mordechai, do you say it when you're in Chutzlart?
Yeah, but I didn't grow up with it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Okay, last two comments quickly. Yeah.
Does this apply to also like giving praise, like for example, like Melech Shabbat or like singing like a bring in or something like that?
Oh, that's very interesting what you just said. I also like the fact that you equated Kabbalat Shabbat with singing at a Fabrik.
I was saying, like...
No, there is... what Caleb asked is very interesting, because, like, on the one hand, Kabbalat Shabbat doesn't really have halachic status. In fact, you ever notice that in some communities, the chazan stands at the bima for Kabbalat Shabbat, but in the front for Marv? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
The communities that do that, that's exactly the point. What are they trying to show?
Separation.
This is not the real tefillah. Right, this is something else. It's a beautiful minhag, but it's not really. So it's an interesting question. But I'm saying that you might be particularly lenient there because you're not really fulfilling a halakhic requirement on any level. Yeah.
If we're holding that davening while the ground is like toeva, or it's like
gidufin.
Gidufin, yeah. Like, is the idea that, like, you just wouldn't daven if you're drunk? Like, it's almost a pastime for me to be able to daven more.
Yeah, again, exactly. If it's Purim night, and you turn to your peer or your Rebbe and you say, I'm drunk, but I guess Chris, would you be able to still say this? Yeah, I guess so. Saying, but I'm wondering if, given my current state, if I should daven Marv. Right, he might say to you, no, given you, hello again, if you could ask that question, that's a pretty good sign, but I think he might still say to you, no, you know, wait a couple hours, and when you wake up feeling better, you know, at 12 o'clock at night, you'll daven Marv then.
Well, like, you're holding the Gemara that, like, you're, like, not supposed to be able to tell the difference between, like, Mordechai and Haman, right? Like,
all right, a lot of interpretation is what that means.
Okay.
Like, the Rambam thing, that means you go to sleep, right?
Yeah.
Right, so, all right, so you might say, go to sleep, and, you know, set your alarm for 2 in the morning, you'll wake up and say Marv and go back to bed. Okay, yeah.
If that is the case where you would need to, like, wait until, like, a different time, so your lesson period, and say, whatever it is, let's say it's mincha, right? And by the time you are not drunk, it's like the same mincha, can you say Marv twice at that point, or is that like...
Well, again, I would say, let's say his question. Wouldn't it be, depend whether you're Shatua or you are Shikar? It seems to me, what would be the psak if you're Shatua? It's B'di'aved, and we say B'di'aved. You could daven, so daven mincha. If you're shikar, it sounds like it's pointless to daven mincha. Because how do we view a shikar as davening? As a toeva, right? So you're not accomplishing anything by davening as a shikar. All right, so would it be fair to Rabbini? So absolutely last question.
Oh, so it's like extreme exhaustion or something like that qualifies as...
That's a very good question. We're not first right now. All right, guys, even though as much as I'd like to do a review, I'm going to be fair to Rabbini. We're in here. Everybody have a great Shabbos.